Good morning. It's good to be with you this morning. I do encourage you to join us at 10:15 for our parish meeting. You'll need to register for that if you have not already. That's available on the website and also in the letter I sent to you. So hopefully you'll join us in a while. In that context of us being together for this parish meeting, my homily today is kind of connected to that. It's a chance to look at this past year and look at this year we're entering into and offer some thoughts and reflections this morning. It was about a year ago, I'm not sure if it was January or February, but I was at the our parish finance committee meeting. David Bowersox is the chair of that committee. And as we gathered, I remember him saying to us, he was hearing sort of rumors that with this coronavirus that we're beginning to hear about, that there may be a need for a closing down of schools, of stores, of businesses, of churches, for a few weeks to get a grip on this virus that was potentially going to be coming to our country and to our communities. And I remember when David said that, closing down for 4 weeks, I remember sitting at that meeting and saying to myself, no way. It was just unimaginable to me. A few weeks later, we moved into a different reality, one that may have seemed unimaginable, but it was a new reality. In the middle of March of last year, we here at St. Paul's, following the diocesan protocols, moved to virtual services on Sunday. We began having meetings through Zoom, our committee meetings. We learned what Zoom was, at least until May 1st, we thought, in March, at least until May 1st. I remember Holy Week being upon us, and particularly the clergy and Rusty, and we just got together, and how do we do this virtually? And we did. And all of the services that year were virtual. As May approached, it was decided that we'll need to continue this way of being church and doing church until July 1st. I remember saying to myself, another 2 months. As May approached and we continued into July, we learned so many things about ourselves and who we could be and what we could do together. And here we are today, January 31st, 2021. It's been quite a time, quite a time. When we began what many were calling the closing of the church, that phrase just didn't sit well with me. Closing the church. Yes, we needed to gather in a different way to worship, but this community of faith that we call St. Paul's never closed. Maybe the buildings did, but not the church. Not this faith community of St. Paul's. Now, you've heard me quote this many times. You'll probably be able to say it with me, but in the beginning of this pandemic, Bishop Rob Wright, the Bishop of the Diocese of Atlanta, said something that I held on to from the very beginning when he said, "The church does not close, it adapts." The church does not close, it adapts. And as I thought about that, the church has adapted throughout its history. Why should we be any different now? So when people kept asking, when will we reopen, I responded, you don't need to reopen something that's not closed. And we're not closed. As a matter of fact, I think this experience is calling us to open even wider than before. Even wider than before. And we have been opened wider. I want to highlight some areas where we have been opened even wider and thank some folks and acknowledge some people. I want to thank Brian Rudy for all he has done with us in our live stream Sunday services. I remember when we entered into this experience, we had no camera, we had no ability to do this. And without Brian, we would not be where we are today regarding live stream. And not just his expansive knowledge of how to do this, but his compassion, his heart, and his care for all who participate in what this is about, going out into the wider community. I want to thank him for that. He's been here every Sunday, and he's beginning to build a bench to help with this as well. And going forward, we're going to continue to live stream even when we are gathered back here again in the church. We have found this a ministry that is so significant for us. In a sense, attendance has grown, if that makes any sense. When we see how many people are participating in our live stream from the wider community, while this room is empty, attendance has grown. I want to thank Phil Bowen for his work on Facebook live stream. Phil is here every Sunday as well, monitoring the Facebook part of this live stream. He helps with morning prayer every morning, Monday through Friday. We have morning prayer every morning at 8 o'clock, and people can see that throughout the day. I want to thank Phil for all he's done in this time of changing and adapting to being kind of virtual in so many things that we're doing. Rusty McKinney has done such remarkable things with the music you hear every Sunday, which we heard just now. Talk about adapting. The music, I want to make it clear, this music is recorded by our own St. Paul choir members, our own parishioners. The organ is played by Joanna Lee, our church organist. Andrea Dreyer assists with the Sunday choir recordings. And all the voices of the choir members, all of it is done in individual homes. Joe is playing an organ in her home. Individual people are singing into a microphone in their home. And all of that is sent to Rusty. And Rusty blends it together so what you hear on Sunday is from that experience. What a gift Rusty has been in adapting to this new reality. Bishop Ann complimented our music one time. She said to me, the quality was so incredible. She jokingly said that she could not believe the music was recorded. She thought we were hiding the choir somewhere in the corner of the church, and they were really singing live. But that's been an incredible adaptation that we've done as we've walked through this experience together. Our children's ministry adapted. Thanks to Natalie Sroka and the folks that make up the children's ministry, they've done just remarkable things, remarkable things. Most recently at Christmas time, if you had a chance to be here for the drive-through live nativity, what incredible creativity and in adapting to a new reality. The Christmas pageant that was online, each child recording their parts at home. Zoom Sunday school with both classes and chapel services led by volunteers and Javier and I. Our youth ministry adapted thanks to Zach Rugen, who along with volunteers leads our youth group and our formation opportunities and keeps in touch with the young folks in our parish. Our St. Paul's preschool could write the book on adapting. Brooke Bowersox and Laura Gorman, along with the teachers, have done incredibly creative things, from sometimes Zoom class time when we weren't able to gather, to now in-person classes here in the church building, while they moved all of their classroom materials, all of the things they use from the education building into this building to create smaller classrooms. Our choir room is now a classroom. Our youth wing is now a classroom. Our kids' club is now a classroom. Incredible work that they've done while the renovations are going on in the education building and while we adapt to the pandemic and how we can gather, particularly with children. Just incredible. And while the building and offices of the church have been closed, the ways of adapting to that have been remarkable. Melanie Fairbrother, our office manager, quickly adapted in ways that were seamless. While people may not be coming to the church building, people are still coming to the church in various ways. And Melanie is still that person with that pastoral sensitivity and care who greets them, leads them to where they can find what they're looking for and what they need. Weekly programs for Sunday virtual service continues. Melanie plays a key role as a staff person in our communications committee. And that communications committee has been an incredible gift during this time that I meet with weekly as we gather together to plan the following week. Such creativity there. And Melanie is kind of a liaison to that as a staff person, along with the clergy. Melanie tends to the service contracts or the machines, so many things, on and on and on and on, seamless. Brandy Satterfield, our financial assistant, has adapted. Brandy certainly continues the day-to-day things of making sure we're paying our bills and staff are paid. But in this challenging time of PPP loans, capital projects and budgets, contractors, working with our bank, providing day-to-day oversight to the operating budget, working with the preschool budget, her adapting has enabled us to not skip a beat financially. You'll hear more about the finances in the parish meeting that's coming up in a few minutes. Candy Snively has adapted, as she has been with us for just about every Sunday for the virtual service, serving liturgically as deacon, and in that liturgical role, reminding us of our call as a church sent forth. And church sent forth needs no building. Candy's pastoral heart has reached out so much in ways that needed to adjust to limitations on hospital visits, home visits, rehab visits, but phone calls, Zoom, funerals are just a few ways that Candy has adapted in her passion for pastoral care. Javier has adapted. His wisdom I get emotional doing this. His wisdom, his insights, his incredibly passionate heart and mind have so helped open us to what is before us, both within the church gathered and beyond the church in the world. As associate rector, he has just responded to this time that we are in with incredible creativity and care. He's been such a significant part of my getting through this time as well. And you'll hear from Javier a little while at the meeting. I hope this year we can add to our staff and hire an associate rector for children's and youth formation, a facilities manager, and a newcomer incorporation coordinator as we move forward. As we look to the incredible strength of what our staff and clergy have done this past year, we're looking to expand that and grow into deeper levels of the ability to do ministry here. Also want to share and thank our vestry for their incredible leadership through this time. The vestry group that became vestry last year had one vestry meeting, and then we totally went to Zoom meetings. It's been a different kind of way of gathering. But I want to thank the vestry who served their term and completed their three-year term, Nicole Gachalian, Andrea Johnson, and particularly Mary Kintz as our senior warden. You know, when Mary became senior warden 2 years ago, she was senior warden for 2 years in a row. The first year, I reminded her before she agreed to be senior warden that I was going to be away for a while on a sabbatical. That's always a time for a warden to think about whether they want to do that. And Mary stepped forward. And there were challenging times when I was away, and Mary stepped up to that role with the support of clergy and others as well. And as I've teased Mary, there's no manual on how to be a senior warden during a pandemic. But Mary's leadership, her care and love for this community and for you, she stepped forward in incredible ways. What a gift she was to us as senior warden. And she'll continue in other ministries, continuing working with the building project as well. But I want to particularly thank Mary. And our vestry gave her a great gift. We gave her a gift to get away for a weekend and with she and Andy and just spend some downtime and relax. And so here at St. Paul's, my week still begins every Monday morning, as it did before the pandemic. As clergy, including Tony Wyke, along with Margie Best and Melanie Wigley of Care and Share, meet to review the pastoral needs of the parish, which have been so important to us during this time, and how we respond, how we adapt to those needs. Meals are still delivered. Phone calls are made, contact is made, support is given in many ways. Other ministries of St. Paul's that do not require a building have adapted as well, so much during this pandemic. We are building a home for Habitat for Humanity. We continue to support refuge families through our Refuge for Refugee ministry, especially during this time of COVID. We continue to support the farm worker ministry, gave a gift of $5,000 from St. Paul's Cares to support Episcopal farm worker ministry as the pandemic hit so hard, the most vulnerable. Our Mono Day will continue and be here in March, where we will support and give gifts to support the farm workers. We continue the work of St. Nicholas Ministry. St. Nicholas was able to get here a little after Christmas and be with us, but the gifts that were given this year were unbelievable. We continue to support Rise Against Hunger, that packages and delivers food for the hungry of this world. We have joined up with the Western Region Food Security Group, a coalition of congregations, and package and assist the distribution of food in our community. Through One Wake, we've become part of a strong coalition working to improve affordable housing, education, and living wages in Wake County. St. Paul's isn't closed. And there's so much more that we've done. That's just a quick, brief blink overview of so much that is happening at St. Paul's in the midst of this pandemic. There are about 60 other ministries I've not raised up before you this morning, and they are adapting as well. Many of them have written up annual reports, and those annual reports are available on our website. I encourage you to read them and look at the wondrous things that are happening. Friends, St. Paul's is not closed. Never has been. We have been opened more than ever before. And this pandemic has opened us so much. Things of the past that have been ignored or pushed to the side, poverty, racism, social injustice, white supremacy, the deeply rooted divisions in our country, have become open. Some of them are perhaps open wounds that need healing. And we need to open ourselves. And we've opened ourselves more and more these last few months as we've walked together. I've seen it. In February, Black History Month, which begins tomorrow, St. Paul's invites folks to gather with Cary Presbyterian Church in a Zoom offering of the Racial Equity Institute groundwater training. You can sign up on the website. We have numerous groups reading books challenging us to understand and respond to racial injustice, to us become open in our midst. And it's a start. It's a start. But it's brought people together from some important and challenging and engaging conversations of self-reflection and action. Let me just conclude these thoughts a bit. We've walked through an incredible year together. We haven't closed. We've been open. And we've opened even more. And as we live through this time of division and pandemic, violence and injustice, with your support, we're also in the midst of a major renovation of our education building, which will provide space for formation of children and youth, space for fellowship and celebration for ourselves and those in our community. And being in the midst of this division, pandemic, violence in our nation, racism, and I look over here and see the construction going on in that building. Hang in here with me for a second. It reminds me of another time. Back in 2003, 18 years ago, the Episcopal Church found itself in a controversial time over human sexuality. Some were leaving the Episcopal Church over the election of an openly gay bishop. And while many congregations struggled and lost folks at that time, we here at St. Paul's did something else. We built this church building that I stand in right now. in the midst of division, in the midst of struggle, we built a church. And as I said in 2003, it's not about this building, but it's about what this building calls us to be, based on the dream and the visions we had of building this building. So in the midst of division, challenging times, we built a church. And today I challenge you to remember that. While all of you may not have been here 18 years ago, I was, and many of you were, but whether you were here or not, in this present time of division, of injustice, of racism, in the midst of a pandemic, we have a church to build. We have a church to build. And that's what we're here to do, to continue to build the church that opens and opens and opens ever more. I hope this year we'll be able to move forward in that way as we look to hire some new staff to support us. As I mentioned, associate for children's and youth formation, to hire a facilities manager, to hire a newcomer incorporation coordinator that will help us and support us living into this call we have to open ourselves more and more. I'd like to just conclude with a thought from Thomas Merton, who said, "You do not need to know precisely what is happening or exactly where it's all going. What you need is to recognize the possibilities and challenges offered by the present moment and to embrace them with courage, with faith, and with hope." Friends, let us embrace, as we enter into 2021, let us embrace courage, faith, and hope as we continue to open evermore to what is before us and how we can grow and build a church together.